Hustle staying strong while I'm going and I'm striving. I'm relying on myself for as long as I'm surviving. Yeah. Taking no excuses because your words are just useless. What? Kick off the dust and let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Remedy, A Human Awakening, a forum where we discuss the challenges we face as humans navigating today's fast-paced modern society.
Oh yeah, that's the part where I talk now, huh? That's our second episode with that intro button, and I'm just like so enamored with listening to it and sitting here going like, oh yeah, you gotta start talking as soon as you're done talking on the thing, you gotta start talking. So here we are, episode 14. Corey and I are going to talk about physical challenges today. Not like physical challenges, like we're going to both get over a wall, although we could.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, we couldn't. Like, I should clarify that. We could not get, I could get over about a 4-foot wall. I could get over a 6-foot if I needed to.
Oh, yeah.
Could you get over a 6-foot wall?
I get over a 6, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I might put you up to that. I know where one is.
Listen, like, you know, like your neighbor's like brick wall or whatever.
Yeah.
I used to have these awesome scars on my forearm. Yeah. One night I got hammered and when I lived, shocking. And I was in Folsom, there was my fence and mm-hmm. then there was like a drainage creek and like a green belt. And mm-hmm. then there was like the wall around the development. Right. And for whatever reason, I wanted to go explore it one night. And so I was like standing there waiting for my buddy and I was like up on the fence and then like the fence board broke. So I flipped off into the green belt. Yeah. I couldn't get back over my fence because like the way that the hill cut away from the fence. Uh-huh. And then so like I had no other option but to go over the wall that bordered the development. And that was like a 7-foot wall, but it had like those, you know, the big brick caps that go across yeah. the top of whatever. So like it was, as I was trying to like get my ass up and over, it was cutting the shit on my forearms.
And you did it?
No.
God, that's the worst story I think you've ever told.
I know, right? And so I was just like,
but the whole point of this was, could you get over a 6-foot fence right now?
Yeah, but it was an 8-foot fence, and I almost did it.
You just said 7. Now you're just now
7, 7 or 8. I don't know.
Well, there's a big difference.
I was drinking.
I'm saying 6.
I was drinking.
Okay. Well, it's probably 4 feet, and you still couldn't get over it
because
you
were drunk. I found a gate. I found the gate that was on the green belt that allowed you access back there. Because I was like, I wonder how the landscapers get back here.
So what we're both trying to say is we're fat. So
yeah,
that's kind of why we wanted to talk about this today, is based on our fatness. And Corey and I did 75 hard. What was it, about this time last year?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because John's getting ready to start phase 3. Phase 3, you start phase 3 30 days prior to your anniversary. So there's no room for error on phase 3.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because you have to wrap all that stuff up within one calendar year, right?
Yeah, but phase 3 specifically starts 30 days before. So there is no, like, restart phase 3, right? Gotcha. So it's pass or fail at that point.
Okay.
And I think June 21st is 30 days prior to the anniversary. And we all started, he started, what, a week or two after?
Yeah, a week or 10 days, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so we're, like, right at a year.
Go us. Hey, you want to have a cake for our 1-year anniversary?
It's funny you say that. I've had lots of cake since then, and that's why I'm back on 75 hard.
Okay. So Corey has started 75 hard again. He's 3 days into it now. This is his third day, as I've seen him post his progress. I am not on 75 hard, so I am still enjoying probably tacos tonight after my bike ride. But we both need to make some changes, and we both really honestly need to make some changes that stick. So I know this is going to be a reoccurring thing. You'll hear us. We've talked about this on other podcasts. We've talked about it on, the podcast Corey and John were doing before. I've talked about it on the things that I was doing on my Gold Hill Canine page. This is a part of our lives. This is something that is not ever going to go away from a conversation from us, because we're going to struggle with this. This isn't easy. This isn't something that comes naturally to us. I don't know if there are people out there that fitness does come naturally to. I know everybody has to work at their fitness, and especially in today's day and age. So I want to start off with the reason I think this is important to talk about. It's not just Corey and I. I think a lot about obesity, and if this episode comes across as harsh, please, well, maybe take it as such. Maybe if it hits you right in your fat little dough belly, maybe it should hurt a little bit. And I'm saying that as somebody that's easily 30 pounds overweight, if not more, 40 pounds overweight. So like I'm not casting stones from a skinny guy's perspective.
So fat people would definitely say that you're casting stones from a skinny guy's perspective.
Yeah, but I'm throwing them like a fat person. And if you're fat, you also got some padding to absorb these rocks that I'm throwing at you. So, I'm not judging. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I'm not judging. Well, no, I'm even judging.
Yeah, no,
I could be judging.
Welcome to episode 14. Yeah. Ashley's going to fat shame fat people.
Yeah. As a fat person, I can.
So you identify as a fat person? I don't think the fat person community
accepts
you.
Every time I look in a mirror, what?
I don't think the fat person community accepts you.
What are you, a fucking leader now? You get to speak on behalf of
them? Are you jealous?
You're like the mayor of Munchkinland?
You're not in.
Speaking of the topic we were talking about before we push record.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not in your crowd. What do you have to, what's considered, how do I get into your fat club?
You're too lazy to get into the fat club.
I don't work hard enough at being fat.
Yeah. Like this just
comes naturally to me.
Like, no, like you don't take
I'm just bordering. I'm not thin, but I'm not fat.
You're like, oh man, I really would like to have that ice cream, but I'm not willing to go get it. Like the fat person's getting that shit or they're paying the exorbitant fee to have it delivered.
Here's what keeps me on the modicum of trending. I'm hovering right between thin and fat. Like I'm split in the middle.
Yeah. Like I think by today's standards, you have a dad bod / husky.
Yeah. And that's sad, really, honestly, to be as overweight as I am and still be acceptable. Here's what keeps me is who I'm married to. She's the healthiest eater I know. She's extremely fit, even though she's literally 40 weeks pregnant as of today. And the due date of our child that hasn't come out yet. And I would know 100% by this time this episode is released, I will have a baby in my life. But it didn't come today.
Not yet.
True. Day's not over yet.
So the sun is still up.
Yeah. So... she'd really have to get at it if she's going to have that baby before midnight tonight, since it's 4:30 in the afternoon Pacific Standard Time.
Talking about physical challenges, you seen obviously your experience in law enforcement, but I mean people like giving birth to their kids in the car, like on the way to hospital.
Yeah.
Like talk about
I know people that have delivered their child. As an officer, they delivered a child in a car.
I drop my phone while driving or being a passenger. It's staying on the floorboard. Like I'm not getting it. Like I'm not.
I drop a French fry. I'm digging that fucker out. But yeah, not the phone. Yeah, it's real. I actually know a guy that his wife was going into labor, and I think they had the baby less than 20 minutes after they got to the hospital. But his truck got wrecked in the process. Don't wish that on me. Good thing I'm only a minute and a half, 2 minutes tops from
you have leather, right?
Yeah, but it's got that air conditioning, the holes ventilation
it's not
in it.
Work after
every this. Time you, well, it's just gonna stink on her side. Like every time you fire that the air conditioned seats up, and it just blows like pre-birth out.
Just fucking put one of those COVID dividers in there. Just like, nope, that's your shit over there.
Yeah, and look like a fucking Uber driver, all sectioned off.
Oh man,
sorry, I had to burn that car to the ground. So I'm gonna talk about fat people today being one, even though you say I'm not. I'm going to just sit here and say I am, and you don't get to kick me out of your club. So why I think this is important, because it's something that's on my mind a lot, and I'll talk a lot about why it's on my mind a lot. So I did some research. It's on my mind every time I eat a burrito. I did some research today to pull that up, and here I'll read some stuff for you. The U.S. adult obesity rate stands at 42.4%, the first time the national rate has passed the 40% mark, and further evidence of the country's obesity crisis. The national adult obesity rate has increased by 26% since 2008. Based in part on newly released 2019 data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Behavioral Risk Factors Surveillance System, that's the BFRSS, if you weren't aware of that acronym, and analysis by Trust for America's Health, which is the website I pulled this off of. This report provides an annual snapshot of rates of overweight and obesity nationwide, including by age, gender, race, and state of residence. Obesity rates vary considerably between states and regions of the country. What state do you think has the highest obesity rate?
Ooh. All right. So it's definitely not a state with beaches. It's going to be somewhere in the South because they just fucking eat deliciousness.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right. Let's see.
Pick one.
I want to say, it starts with an A.
A?
Does it start with
an
A?
No.
Oh, Shit.
Yeah. It's Mississippi.
Is it?
Yeah. Mississippi has the highest adult obesity rate in the country at 40.8%. What state do you think has the lowest?
Alaska.
No. You would think.
Florida?
No.
No, Hawaii. No, that's not right.
Colorado.
What? Those fucking granola eating hippies?
Yeah, they hike a lot.
Yeah.
They're up there hiking.
Put my fucking Tevas on and get after it.
They're always hiking and skiing and mountain biking.
I'm just jealous. Don't take that personal.
Yeah. Colorado has the lowest at 23.8%. 12 states have adult rates above 35%. They are, you were not wrong, Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia.
I wonder if like being at a higher elevation, it stimulates your metabolism.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Let's just go hang out in Tahoe and see if we get not fat. As recently as 2012, no state had an adult obesity rate above 35%. In 2000, no state had an adult obesity rate above 25%. Rates of childhood obesity are also increasing, with the latest data showing that 19.3% of U.S. young people ages 2 to 19 have obesity. In the mid-1970s, 5.5% of young people had obesity. Had obesity, as though it's a fucking disease. I digress. Being overweight or having obesity as a young person puts them at a higher risk for having obesity and its related health risks as an adult. Furthermore, children are exhibiting earlier onset of what used to be considered adult conditions, including hypertension and high cholesterol. Worldwide obesity has nearly tripled since 1975. In 2016, more than 1.9 billion adults 18 years and older were overweight. Of these, over 650 million were obese. 39% of adults aged 18 and over were overweight in 2016, and 13% were obese. Most of the world's population live in countries where overweight and obesity kills more people than being underweight. 38 million children under the age of 5 were overweight or obese in 2019. Obesity is preventable. And that's from the World Health Organization, who we know is a trusted source for all things medical related.
Absolutely.
But I'll quote their facts on this. Close enough for government work, as we like to say in government work. That's bad. I'm going to just throw that out there as I am not a scientist and I am not a statistician in any way whatsoever. But after reading those words, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say it's bad. And here's go.
Is it really bad? Because like people are living too long as it is already. Right.
And as the world becomes overpopulated, is it really bad?
So it's just like it's a natural thing to the herd. Like these people, they fucking had it a little too good. And now you're going to start to fucking weed them out. And then you bring in the stronger genetics and they kind of recover. Right. And it goes back to the whole adage of.
Or that Wuhan flu, almost confirmed.
Whoa.
Comes out.
And Wuhan flu.
Yeah.
Can you say that?
I can say that now because there is scientific credible evidence. Well, it always has originated from Wuhan, so I can say that emphatically. Now it is extremely credible, and you heard it here first, folks, on episode whatever the fuck that was where I was railing about masks. Who's the genius now? It was created in a lab, and I'm going to say that emphatically. There's enough evidence to say that that's what happened, and whether they let it walk out the door on purpose or on accident, that's what happened. So the Wuhan flu, as I will now call it officially, it's disproportionately affecting people with other comorbidity, one of them being obesity. So you're not wrong in that. Or we're all going to just end up like, you know, the people in WALL-E that we're up on a big spaceship and we can't even tote ourselves around. Have you ever seen that movie?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
That's a good movie. You should watch it. But basically they've had to abandon Earth because we trashed it and they are on a giant spaceship and they're so obese and then they have reclined for so long that their anatomical structure isn't really capable of holding them supported upright. They just shuttle around these giant interstellar cruise ships on like levitating lounge chairs.
Hold on. You don't have to watch a movie to see that. Have you ever gone to Walmart and see who uses those fucking carts?
Yeah. To my point, yes, my daughter and I, within the last year, were watching a documentary on Walt Disney himself, the man, and they have a lot of footage from him while he was bringing up Walt Disney or Disneyland. And I was just really struck with the fitness level of people then. You know, if you look at like old family movies and things from that era, from the 50s, 40s and 50s, obesity was not the epidemic. And like, you can all be mad about it. And again, I'm speaking to you from one of your own. I'm just saying this with tough love, as a fat person myself. It's not going in the right direction.
Yeah. You want to hear something? Just, it's really fucked. It's funny. But it's also sad in its nature. John and I out on our last bike ride prior to him shit wrecking himself, talk about fucking physical challenges.
Yeah.
He's not getting anything done with his right hand now.
God, have you ever tried to wipe left-handed if you're right-handed?
Oh, that would be awkward.
You've never done it then?
No.
Try it tonight. Or whenever you,
yeah, definitely
go
yeah,
at that.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I don't want to go down that path. So, okay. So we were having a conversation, uh-huh, and he'd actually referenced one of our previous podcasts where we talked about him and the weight loss and stuff like that.
Was that when the one he sent the text message to us all after he listened to it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't keep track of it.
I literally don't remember what I said about him, but sure, it was positive.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember the specifics.
I hold him in the highest regard.
I had made the comment about my frustration with myself,
yeah,
and had I continued to work on myself in the way in which I had when I was on 75 hard the first time, mm-hmm, I would be much closer to my goal than where I'm at now, which is almost effectively right back where I started.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that I have a shit ton of bikes.
If buying bikes kept you thin, man, you'd be about 113 pounds.
Fuck, right? I know. Yeah. So
I'd be in the negative.
Yeah. Yeah. You would not be here.
No.
But so I had made that comment and talking about it. And so he brought it up when we were riding, and somehow we started talking about how traveling. Oh, I think I was talking about some other like employment opportunities that were being pitched to me, mm-hmm, but they would require me to travel and things like that, and how I'm not interested in that. And one of the reasons I hate flying is be a fat person on an airplane.
Yeah.
It is not a fun experience.
It's not.
And John fucking didn't skip a fucking beat. Talked about how he had stolen, he knew the different fucking airlines, what seatbelt extensions they used. And so he kept two of those in his carry-on bag, so that he wouldn't have to ask for it. He didn't have to be like fat shamed, but he'd still be able to look at. I just said, fuck it. I'm just not putting my seatbelt on. Yeah. And because I was too fat and I was usually always wearing like a sweatshirt because that hides my fat the best. You can tell whether or not I was wearing a
seatbelt. Nobody's lifting you up there.
Yeah, that. And I was always, you know, I always flew at least business class. Yeah. So I had a bigger, comfortable seat,
yeah,
you know, and who's going to fucking say anything to me? I'm just give me my fucking Jack and Coke and let me go on my way. But it was sad that I know I've passed up on multiple opportunities to go do things,
sure,
or go see people that, mm-hmm, that mean a lot to me, but clearly not enough to prevent me from continuing to make these same bad habits that got me in this situation.
Right.
Or in his situation where he had special provisions, mm-hmm, that would allow him to comfortably travel. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then we both joked about, you know, house, like if you dare fly Southwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
No assigned seating and stuff like, mm-hmm, that. And you're boarding last for whatever reason. And you're the fat guy that's coming down the aisle and everyone's just like, fuck, not me, yes, not me, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, I don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah.
Like, it's a miserable experience. But when I get off that fucking airplane, before I get to my car, like, oh, where's that shitty restaurant in the airport that's going to give me something delicious?
Yeah. And you're probably eating shit snacks on the flight, or even just the crap they give you. Yeah. Like, that's not healthy stuff. They're going to give you a soda. Even on a Southwest flight, they're going to give you a soda. They're going to give you some fucking pretzels or whatever it is. So none of that shit that you should just go like, no, or give me the water and don't take their snackies whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I got caught on a fucking, it was a red eye to Atlanta for some business and assigned seating. So it was like Delta or some shit like that. And I'm the last row up against the bulkhead in the back. So I'm already like, oh, that's not going to be good. I sit down, I'm on the aisle, there's an open middle seat. And then the seat on the window was taken. I'm like, oh, thankfully it looks like they're getting ready to close the door. Nobody's sitting in that seat. So at least as terrible as this seat is, I'm going to be okay. I bullshit you not. The guy coming down the aisle on a full flight, there's only one place for him to go, is between your and my size. I'm a 235 to 240 and I should be 200 or under. And you're a large man.
Let's go. I think 345 and okay. I should be like 175.
Yeah. So right smack dab in between.
God, that just hurt to say it out loud.
It did.
That
it
sucks.
Did. Yeah. But you're doing something about it. So this guy's between you and I size. I'm not fucking with you. He's wearing a tank top and a kilt and he's got long hair down to the middle of his back. And I can already see the fur off of this dude. He is not wearing a fur sweater. It's this all natural coming. And he plunks his ass down right next to me. And I run hot as it is anyway. So I wear shorts and t-shirts all the time. And I'm thinking, we're going to commingle sweat in so many terrible fucking ways. And it's just, you see this coming and you go, I have to resign myself to the fact that based on my life choices and being as big as I am not going to get away from him. He's going to spill it because he's bigger than I am and he's going to spill over into my space that I've paid good money for. And I am going to have to spill out over into the aisle, which on this, I was about a 4.5-5 hour flight during the night where I'm trying to sleep. And I just keep getting blasted by everybody walking down the aisle and the fucking drink cart and this and that. And it's like, I'm trying to get away from him. And at some point I just had to just relegate myself to the fact that we're smushing. We're just in the smush room and his fucking hairy legs are on mine, his hairy ass arms and everything from the damn tank top. And I think he enjoyed what he did to me. Like I think there is some sort of hedonistic pleasure of knowing that he is going to sweat all over whoever he shows up next to. Cause it certainly didn't impose that shit onto the person sitting in the window, but we were one on that flight, the most miserable flight experience of my entire existence. And I pay for it every Southwest flight. Cause I'm as big as I am. My shoulders are big. I can't spread out. And I arrived hunched. it's brutal. So, what are we doing about it? That's the question. I mean, what have we done in the past? What have you done to, I mean, we did the same thing last year at the same time. So,
yeah, well, I guess what's frustrating is I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, it just how depressing it is this, to say how much I weigh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to say it again, even though I already said it. How much I weigh relative to what I should weigh, right?
Yeah.
I'll never be that small. Like that.
Sure.
It's just not my body.
We'll just say 200 as a goal for you.
Yeah.
Very healthy for you to get down to.
In college, like I was a healthy, like 230. I was a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm. I was 185 pounds when I graduated the fucking police academy in 1997.
Sticks and stones will break your bones.
Yeah. I don't think I was healthy. Maybe I had a tapeworm.
But I've literally lost fucking Todd. Right? Like my course of my life, I've gained and lost Todd. Like he's fucking, you know, and it's depressing, you know.
What do we think Todd weighs? About 175, 180?
Yeah, maybe.
He's been on a workout program, so we're going to put him, I'd say about 175-ish.
Yeah, I think he's
never gotten 175. Over 200, but yeah.
No.
So you lost Todd.
I've lost
Todd. You shed Todd.
Yeah. Wow. And every time we ride, I have it's basically Todd with Todd on his back.
It's Todd squared.
Yeah, exactly.
Your
yeah.
poor suspension on your bike every time is just like, fuck.
Why do you think I got the 38?
It don't matter. The air pressure is air pressure. You can only put so much in those things. And it's like, okay, buddy, we got a chart right here and you're not on it.
No.
No.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah. But we need to keep this a light topic because I know a lot of people struggle with it. And trust us when we say, as we poke fun, it's we're poking fun at ourselves because this is depressing. I'll say it for myself. Like I lost a good amount of weight. I probably lost 25 pounds on 75 hard and I was down trending more towards where I want to be at 200 and I was going that way quicker than what I am now. And I'm right back with you. I probably gained it all back through. So that's a great, like jumping, go.
I lost 53 pounds last year.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And then let's do the math real quick.
Oh, this is going to hurt your soul, isn't it? It's going to hurt your little tummy.
So I am 16 pounds shy of having gained those 53 pounds back. So that's a really
don't
fucked
do
up.
That to me, man.
That was a really shitty way to say that. Sorry.
So you lost 53 pounds. Yeah. It's for those of you following along, this down.
I gained 37 pounds of it back.
Ground 30. Yeah.
And I stopped.
And the final 13, you said 16? the final, whatever mathematical equation you threw out there, those could happen in just a matter of a couple weeks.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like all the way back to the 53 plus some.
Yeah.
Plus some. You could be plus seven by the end of this summer if you're not careful, easily. Yeah. Easily. That's how bad it is. I can chart exactly what happened for me. And then we'll talk about why this is the hard for us and why it might be hard for you. 75 hard. I lost, like I said, probably about 25 pounds. I wasn't weighing myself. It wasn't a weight loss journey that I was on. I just knew that was going to be a side effect of the 75 hard challenge. And so I did it and I could see the effects of it. I could see it on my face. I could feel it in my clothes. I know what was happening. The one or two times I did get weighed was because I fucking shit wrecked myself. Why is it that all of us on the 75 hard have fucked ourselves up? You better be careful. You got a shoulder separation coming if you're not careful. If you're on 75 hard, you separate. Shoulders.
Take that shit back. I don't want
to look you right in the eye and say it again. Like you need to be really careful. Even on that gravel bike, it's just when us fat people ride bikes, we eject ourselves, and then the sudden deceleration that comes with our shoulder impacting the ground tends to separate that mightily because we don't have enough muscle surrounding those joints to protect us, and our massive mass hurtling through space for a very short period of time before we impact the ground has managed to fuck John and I shoulder up while in the midst of that. So that's how I know what I weighed at the time, because I had to go to the ER and get weighed and fully clothed. I was like 218 or something like that in there. And I'm not that now. And so that's tough to know that. And I can chart the trajectory. It's like, okay, so when I was done with it, I allowed myself that little bit of freedom of, okay, on our Thursday night rides, instead of eating the salads I was eating afterwards at Mexican food, I'm going to have that burrito. And now everybody makes fun of me during those rides at the end because I eat like two tacos, a chicken enchilada, and chimichanga.
Chimichanga.
And then I justify that by, I just rode my bike a whole bunch, you know, but no, it's maybe, clearly.
Maybe if you rode a me bike, you had successfully burned off that many calories.
When he says me bike, for those of you out there in the listening audience, what he's talking about is a bike that goes incredibly slow when you pedal it because it has no other forms of propulsion other than our dumb fucking legs. And that sounded fun back in the days when I first started mountain biking a couple of years ago. And I was like, oh yeah, who wants to climb up this hill? Not me. And it was brutal and it sucked and all that. I now have the privileged position of riding what's called an e-bike. It's a motor-assisted bike. For those of you out there that want to throw shade at me, I don't give two fucks. It is the most fun that I'll ever have on a bike, and it allows me to have fun both uphill and downhill. Doesn't have a throttle. It won't go unless I go, so I have to pedal it, but it also boost me. It gives me that friendly little push that I need to overcome gravitational resistance. So no, sir, I will never go back to those days. I have, and nor will you, because I like how you throw that out there at me. Like, oh yeah, I bought a gravel bike and I owned it for a whole period of 17 days before I bought my battery assisted gravel bike. And now I just let Todd ride it.
It was a solid month. And I'll have you know that my 75 hard first workout of the day was a 12 mile ride on the fucking me gravel bike.
One day you did that.
I did it this morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
But you've done that one time.
No.
You do that every morning? That's your.
No, it's not my normal routine, but like. You're,
today. You're making. On third day, you jumped on your human powered only bike.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good for you, but.
Yeah.
But,
because otherwise, I have to go like 25 miles on the fucking e-gravel bike because I'm hauling ass the whole way. So I was like, how do I not go super far outside of the development so I can stay close to the house and then be done?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
You went on the snail bike.
I went on the snail bike.
What do you think it is that, what makes this so hard for you? Us. Like what is it? What's
lack of convenience.
Okay.
So lack of, in
what? It's,
so eating healthy.
Okay.
Like it's not. What drive-thrus can I go hit on my way home that's going to serve me something that's healthy?
Right.
Right. So that's the first thing. So, I mean, if I could go order a salad.
You like, can.
Where?
Every drive-thru. Every McDonald's.
Yeah, Burger King. If you factor in what they put in that dressing, and then it's
the dressing off.
Shit. Yeah. Well, I'm not a fucking rabbit, so.
And there lies the problem. No, no, no. But it's important to think about this for all of you that are struggling out there with being fat fucks like us, right? You can't, and I've made this, dude, when I was working in law enforcement, I most of the time had to eat. Like, you don't like bring a lunch. That's awesome. But when are you going to eat it? And I'm just not bring a lunch person. It's my programming sucks. Packing a lunch is not who I am. But when I was trying to lose weight and be healthy, health conscious while having a complete basic fast food lifestyle, I made choices of driving through Wendy's and just getting the chicken salad. I'm not going to say the chicken in there is cooked the healthiest, right? But it's definitely better than anything else on their menu. And I made the conscious effort to do that and avoid the soda. But our programming is as you picture it right now, you can't think of any drive-thrus that do that because you don't see that thing on the menu. You see all the shit we want. And I'll say that from somebody that would kill a fucking 12-piece chicken nugget right now.
So now here's like the next like level of laziness.
Yeah.
If it is not on the right side of the road without me having to deviate from the most efficient path going home, right, it's not getting my attention.
Okay.
Right. So then now I wonder if there's a part of me that's like subconsciously sabotage myself to where I take a way home that just fucking negates all of those options.
Yeah, it's possible.
No,
I'm going to say that like off the top of my head, Taco Bell might be the only one that I can think of right now. And they probably do have some sort of salad option, but I can't picture what it is. But I know damn well, McDonald's does, Burger King does, Wendy's does, Chick-fil-A does. They all have something that would allow us to still drive through the drive-thru, still have the convenience, but it's not what we're selecting when we're there. You're just not going to. And then, yeah. And then if I did get it, then I'm going to pour all that fucking terrible dressing on it.
Ooh,
and
Chick-fil-A sauce on a salad. That'd be weird.
I just bought my daughter a carton, like an actual squeeze container of Chick-fil-A sauce the other day. It blew her mind.
The big one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't know it existed. And I was like, go show that to all your friends. Yeah. You're young. You can do this.
Yeah, it's that, and then not prioritizing taking care of myself,
right? Because it's a slow burn, right?
It's like, there's no immediate gratification.
Let me put it this way: you should be about 175 pounds right now. You estimate you didn't wake up, you weren't 175 pounds yesterday, and you woke up today at whatever that weight.
No, that you probably threw like ninth grade was the last time I saw that.
Right, so it's a slow descent into. The hell you live in physically now. Oh, yeah. And so like, that's how it comes at you. It just goes back on. You've put that weight back on over the last year and here you are. And then you wake up and go, fuck, I'm going the wrong direction. And then now you got to dig yourself out of that hole, and it's painful and it's brutal. And it's like fucking not fun. Not as fun as that goddamn chimichanga I want to eat tonight.
Yeah. I think what's different is, I know I'll succeed doing 75 hard this go around.
Sure.
I know that it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much fucking easier than phase one. Yeah. Just doing the two workouts a day and a little bit of reading and following a diet. Like, yeah, that's just easy comparatively to all the other powerless tasks, the cold shower, which I fucking hated.
That's funny because that is the thing that has stuck. I almost never take a hot shower anymore. So like every morning I take a cold shower, and if I take a hot shower, it's to like bathe because, like I rode my bike and stuff and I actually want to soap and kind of like use the hot water to loosen up my damn muscles and stuff like that. So the funny part is that's the only thing that stuck with me. I really like the benefits from that. And I like the, I don't know. It's weird.
Huh? Yeah, no. And so, you know, doing it for me now, the first go around, there was definitely, I would say probably at least a third of the time that I was going through the motions. I was checking the boxes, mm-hmm. You know, what would qualify as a workout? You know, what could I rationalize to myself? What would make sense to the average person? So that way I don't feel like I'm cheating the system. Right. Cause the biggest part of it's integrity, right? At the end mm-hmm. of the day, no one knows whether I fucking did it or not.
Sure.
While we did a lot of workouts together, writing and stuff. I mean, other than that, you know, the majority of were done in private.
So what's going to be different this time, or what has to be different? So this isn't just a challenge you pick up when you realize you've fallen off the wagon too far. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did it last year. You lost the weight.
I was complacent. So yeah. I was like, I did it.
Right.
I did good. I'm making progress. I don't need this. I can maintain this shit on my own.
Okay.
I know that I don't have that discipline, and I don't have that ingrained. I haven't been able to reprogram myself, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm using this to kind of boost my trajectory in that direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm also coupling it with a more regimented workout plan and doing things that are going to challenge me that aren't necessarily easy or convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, as we're recording this, like my fucking hamstrings and my lats and shit.
He's actually on fire. Standing up right now at our fancy podcast desk that raises and lowers.
Yeah,
he's not sitting in the beautiful Herman Miller chairs I bought from the 70s that are gold sparkle because his hammies are hurting too bad.
Yeah. No, it's just like, and it's, but I want to remind myself, I want to feel this way that going back isn't worth it. Right. And so, you know, and then addition to what I think is different about this is I'm doing it by myself. I'm not doing this with anyone else.
I didn't know you were doing it. I just saw your thing. I didn't talk to anyone about it. I was like, oh, he didn't include me.
I decided that I needed to get my shit together. I was literally starting to feel bad. Yeah. We'd already talked about my lack of mountain biking, mm-hmm. you know, and a variety of reasons, which essentially are all excuses.
You sold yourself hard on that. You said it to me a while back. I don't know if it was on this podcast or not, but
no, I think we talked about it afterwards.
Yeah. About why you're not driving up to Granite Bay. And I listened to all that stuff and I was like, a whole lot of excuses you threw out there.
Yeah. I mean, in essence, you know, that's what they are. You know, they were things that I had justified to myself.
Well, it changed in your mind. You had almost an anger about it where it's like, I'm not driving up to Granite Bay anymore. Like it's this far out there and I'm not doing it because this is the riding style that happens sometimes. And you're kind of like indignant about it. And I was like, you've changed your mental space for that activity so much from, well, probably a year ago where you relished the thought of driving up here to do our rides around Granite Bay and stuff. And it like the worm turned.
No, it definitely did. Right. There was a lot centralized around it that I think was benefiting everyone.
Yeah.
And then, as time passed, everyone started creating their own paths. Mm-hmm. And as everyone was creating their own paths and progressing and doing other things, I fell off my path. Right.
And I'll tell you what it was.
What?
Todd stopped riding with us on Tuesday nights. It was Todd's. We followed Todd and it stopped out. I don't know. Todd went and got his no name Peloton. And his Pelonope or whatever it's called. It's the van fell apart.
No, I was already off the wagon far before that happened.
Okay. Well, I was trying to blame Todd somewhere in there.
No, actually,
I'm going to blame John, really.
I blame it on my
two crashes. I don't know why I'm blaming John. It's just really because I think he's going to listen to this and then he'll send us a text and because his feelings were hurt because I blamed John somehow.
Well, yeah, he wasn't there to support me because his bike kept breaking.
Yeah, I'll blame John and his shitty bike buying choices. This is what happens when you buy no-name brands and your bike fails you multiple times. Really, if I'm being honest, I blame Cameron.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
That's such a deep inside joke on every level. had already fallen off.
One other person's laughing, another person saying, fuck you. And that's about it. So I really, and one of the other big things too, is the two times I had fairly serious crashes. You know,
did you go to the ER either time?
I probably should have for the first one.
Did you go to the ER?
No, I don't go to the ER.
Okay. We're not going to call them a serious crash if you didn't go to the ER.
Okay.
There's no like I should have gone to the ER. When my shoulder was 3 centimeters down farther than where it's like, wasn't like I could go to the ER. I could like now see this arm isn't like working properly anymore. And there's things sticking up out of it. I have to go to the ER.
Yeah.
I have to. That's how you know that's a crash.
I'll give you that one.
All right. So you fell down and you hurt yourself.
I hurt my ego.
Mm-hmm. Are you hurt or injured?
And I actually broke my bike too. That was the other thing. Oh. So then there was a period of time where I couldn't ride.
Sure.
You know, and then so
this is before you bought two more gravel bikes.
Yeah. This is when I was a peasant with one bike. Fair
enough. Who wants to live like that?
Yeah. there was a handful of interestingly timed things coupled with my fading or diminishing personal motivation.
Right.
And those things snowballed to the point where it was like, holy shit. And then I was faced with the inconvenient truth that if I wanted to get back on that path, I was going to have to work my fucking ass on it. So I could either accept that reality and go back to being miserable, doing something that I got to a point where I was actually enjoying, or I'll do what I've always done and I'll sell myself as to why that's not important right now.
Right.
And then I got to the point where I was unhappy with myself because that was my own reality, you know? And so that's where I think, you know, like my indignant attitude, you know, came from. Cause it was funny. Cause I had that conversation with John where it was just like, fuck man, I got to this place that I don't want to be again. Mm-hmm. And now I got to find my way to get back there, but I got to do it on my own. Right. Yeah. Which is why I didn't reach out to anyone about what I'm doing. It was just, okay, I need to do this.
And that's where I'm struggling too, whether I jump back into 75 hard, especially getting ready to have a baby any day now, like what that looks like. And again, I'll throw that out as an excuse right now.
Daddy hard. You can do a modified version.
Daddy hard. Yeah, we're not going to start that.
That's probably copyrighted.
Yeah. And I feel like if I Googled daddy hard right now, I wouldn't like the images that come up having two young daughters. We're not, that would be terrible. So I don't like those references. They make me uneasy. So, we're not going to start a program called Daddy Hard in any way, but, I could start 75 hard. There's no reason I can't. I could do a workout while I'm in the delivery room and stuff like that. It's just, I'm weighing out what going through 75 hard again will do for me. Is it going to change my habit patterns enough? Because it didn't the first time. It did for a period of time, but it didn't. I didn't finish phase one that comes after it. And so it didn't, those lessons didn't stick for me. So I need to find a different way of making this more of my lifestyle. Cause I can't be part of a program where I'm beholden to you guys cause you're doing it. And it's like, oh, I'm working out twice a day. So the weight comes off and I have to follow an eating plan and stuff like that. That's not sustainable for me. It's not something I'm going to be on for the rest of my life. So I have to figure out what program it is. What things do I do where it is something I do for the rest of my life, where I eat healthy in moderation. I have the occasional thing that tastes good to me, but I know how to have better control over that for me and incorporate working out into more of my daily lifestyle, because it's not something that I've done in my adult life. The times I've done that is when it's been forced to. When I was in the police academy and we were doing physical agility every morning and running and stuff. Yeah, that's why I was the lightest I've ever been in my life prior to that or since then for sure. But the times where I've gotten back into that, it's because I've had a group of people at work that were all starting to hold each other accountable. We were all there. There's always been other motivations. And I think I haven't read the book yet. I literally don't even know what it's called, but Liz just got a book recently, based on the, a women's empowerment group that she's a part of, a business thing. It's awesome. And the book, it's not the Four Agreements. That's something different. It's basically four habit types, I think it is. And she's been talking to me quite a bit about how I should read it at some point. Well, we'll have a discussion about it on this forum, but there are basic four types of people. And one of them being like her, where she holds, if she sets something for herself, which is working out daily, she holds herself accountable. If she writes down tasks, that's how she makes those agreements and arrangements with herself and holds herself very accountable to that. And I think my base type is more towards the, I'm okay with breaking those things with myself. And she's not wrong. As she read, I can't speak about it any more intelligently than that. It's not that I haven't listened to her. It's just, I'm not sure all the stuff about it.
Well, we've had these conversations enough to where I think it's fair to say that we both struggle with the same thing. The motivations behind the struggle are different, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, our willingness to commit and to do for others far exceeds our willingness to commit and do for ourselves.
Yeah. I think part of my problem too is a lot of times my displeasure at my weight is based on like a visual ego thing. I see myself in pictures and go, I'm a fat fuck. I don't like the way I look in that, but it's not something I see daily. I don't have any full length mirrors around here. I banned them all from the house and, I don't have any big reflective glass. I don't own a scale. Just kidding. But I don't have a day. I've learned to live with it, I guess, at some point until it's thrust in my face. And because I do enough social media stuff on my other businesses, I see that occasionally here and there. And I'll be honest, I like the way I look better last year than I do right now. And that's a painful thing, but apparently at this point, it hasn't become so painful for me that I'm willing to do the hard work to turn that around. Yeah, because again, it's not something that happened overnight, and it's not something that's going to get better overnight. If I could do a week's worth of fucking whatever and look like fit, I'd do it. But
so tonight, when you go out to eat after the ride,
you're going to tell me not to eat that fucking chimichanga.
I'm not going
to
tell you.
You're going to tell me not to eat the chimichanga.
No, I'm going to ask you a question.
Am I going to eat that chimichanga?
Are you going to make the choice that's indicative of what you're communicating as your goal now? Or are you going to go, this is probably going to be my last Thursday night ride for a while. I should probably enjoy it to the fullest extent prior to her going into labor.
Man, you put me in a difficult position. If I'm being honest, I'm probably going to eat that chimichanga.
Maybe just eat half of it. Maybe that's the happy medium.
Man, there's kids starving in Africa right now. My parents have told me that forever. China. It was somewhere. It was somewhere I don't live. And like there were kids that weren't, they could never get the food I had, but I'm going to throw it away and they're not going to eat because of that. But I could never throw away half a chimichanga. So like for you to say that to me, and it's such a rude thing as friends, but I honestly, over the last couple of weeks, I have cut out the chimichanga. The last two rides, I have not imbibed on the chimichangas there.
You know, I did do you a favor though.
Did you now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't give you the fucking gummy bears. I also didn't give you the s'more bites that I ordered.
What?
The Vigilance Elite gummy bears?
Yeah. When did you not give them to me? Because you gave me two fucking packages.
I know. And then after you liked them, I ordered more. Then I found out you gave one to Todd, and Todd loved them. And then so
did
I was
give
like,
to Todd?
So I, and then Todd's bastards. Like, no, Sarah ordered me a whole bunch of them.
Oh, jeez.
So I was like, okay. So I just gave them to another friend.
Yeah, I need to get a fake Peloton so I can eat them gummy bears. Honestly, the amount of sugar in them just fucking wrecked me, because I have been pretty decent about my sugar intake. I'm pretty solid on that. It's just all the other food. And those gummy bears were absolutely amazing. And they just fucking wrecked me. They gave me a headache. They just like a lot of shit happened when I ate that. And I didn't want to offend you by giving them away, but like you're trying to kill me. And I see your plan. I'm just going to say it right now. This Rodecaster, this whole setup, it's not willed to you. So you kill me with those gummy bears. You don't get this stuff. I don't even know if Liz will let you come over and use it.
I'm in it for the fucking Kinevo.
Kinevo?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're holding out for a Kinevo, you're going to be a sad boy when I die because I don't own one.
No, there's a Schmedium one out there that I heard you're getting, so.
Kinevo?
Never mind.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
So way deeper inside joke.
Yeah, fill me in about that
so one. So deep, it's a small hole. You might figure it out. It'll come to you when you're riding in the middle of the backseat on the Mustang.
Oh man, I forgot somebody owned a medium Kinevo. Damn.
Yeah,
I don't want that bike. That one really went off the rails, folks. That one was such a deep inside joke that I didn't even know. It took a lot of explanation for me. But to be fair, we have recorded two episodes today. This is our second one because of the impending baby time. We're trying to be diligent with our time. So we're recording this two in one day to release. We recorded episode 13 first, and then now obviously this is 14.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, I'll be halfway through 75 hard.
It'll be in July.
Yeah.
This one's coming out in July.
Yep.
That's fucking badass.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and I hope, you know, maybe, you know, depending on the topic, you know, episode 15, I'll have the opportunity to provide an update, you know.
But
I know, I definitely, you know, it's hard. The physical challenges, the physical challenges exist because of the psychological challenges.
Right.
You know, and the physical challenges only amplify the difficulty of working through those impulse control issues. You know, and I would like to think that I'm a self-aware enough person to not make excuses that, oh, I'm just responding to the marketing and tactics of these companies. And I know I'm not operating under my own free will, right? I'm a victim to their ad campaigns. I mean, that's not true. I mean, I love some shit that is delicious and it happens to not be nutritious.
There's a lot that goes into it. I could agree with you on that because I don't have regular TV. So I don't see ads for much of anything food related and stuff. So I'm not really, I mean, maybe long ago it got ingrained in my head. It's more lifestyle stuff. The funny thing that I was talking with my daughter about recently was, she brought up the long story, but to shorten it, we were talking about lunches, school lunches when she was in school and when she was younger. And for the reasons that it was brought up, completely unrelated to the school lunches, she was like, yeah, you used to always, I got hot lunches because I would just put money on her account and she got hot lunches. And she was saying is that it was a bad thing. She didn't like the hot lunches. She wanted to like have a lunch made for her each day. And I was like, it's such a weird thing because growing up, when I grew up, my mom made lunches for us every day. And we had like, no offense, mom, because I know you're going to stalk this and listen to it. We had like shit bologna sandwiches. It's what we could afford. And it's, I'm not putting it against her. Like she wasn't doing it to torture us, even though it's what it was. People in Guantanamo get better sandwiches than this, but it was a fucking whole wheat bread. Cause that was like the lowest cost, and bologna, which is floor sweepings at the meatpacking plant, and fucking cheddar, like not American cheese slices. It was like a cheddar, and then it was like in a wedge. So one side of the cheddar was thinner, and you could read a newspaper through the thin side, and mustard, which is probably what brought my distaste and hate for mustard on anything except a corn dog. So that was our sandwiches for the most part. There was no salamis in there. There was no high-end deli meats and stuff. We simply couldn't afford it. My mom was doing the best she could for us and providing us with a sound meal each day. And the big like fun for the week, but probably not every week, like it was rare, was getting hot lunch. And she would scrape it up to do it because she would send me there with mass amounts of pennies, like I don't know, it was $1.25 or something like that. Most of it in pennies. And I knew that because I had to spill it out of my pockets onto the stainless steel counter for the lunch lady. And I remember her consternation like counting all my fucking pennies. I'm like, hey, I'm in fifth grade, bitch. I didn't do this. My mom, this is, blame this on my mom. If you think I showed up here with pennies of my own accord, I was sent here with this and I had no opportunity to exchange it for dollar bills on the way in. So like, fuck it and count it, you know, like, so
I'm standing there in line going, what the fuck is that sound? Oh, there's Ashley again. He's getting a hot lunch today.
Fucking hot lunch once a month, motherfucker. Get behind me.
So that's where my fucked up relationship with food, I think, started.
Sure.
Is those shitty little pizzas?
Yeah,
that were probably had like fucking 9 mm-hmm. tablespoons of mm-hmm. grease on them.
Uh huh. But you're like, oh fuck, dude. It's hot. It's pizza day,
dude.
Yeah, and so I'd be sitting there eating my goddamn bologna mustard sandwich and looking at people like plowing down hot lunches and thinking they really had it fucking made. So flip that thing over, and here I am, you know, able to provide hot lunches for my daughter, and I think I'm doing good as a parent and alleviating myself a little bit. I don't cook. I don't know how to make any better sandwiches probably than what my mom would make, so I think I'm doing good for my daughter, and yet she's still in the same place. So, but that's where and fast food for us was a luxury item. It was like we could go down and get the 25-cent cheeseburgers at McDonald's, which probably started my love for the goddamn cheeseburgers at McDonald's. You know they're good too. You know they're good too.
So they were it was 29, I think it was like 29-cent hamburgers and 39-cent cheeseburgers.
There you go.
And so my dad, being a fucking huge stoner,
yeah,
would go and he would buy the $20 hamburger fucking limit. And he'd just get a bag of those.
Yep.
And he would just sit there in his chair and just be like, you want a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And we just, that was our bonding time.
Sure.
Is him fucking and how, slinging a cheeseburger like, my way.
Fucking crazy is that they can haunt you for the rest of your life. So you can't put it on those companies. They didn't fucking do that. Well, maybe they did with their fancy fucking 29-cent hamburger shit, but it's fucked us for life for a lot of stuff. I still have the urge to go, like, even talk about it right now. I'm a little hungry. If there was a cheeseburger near me, I would eat it. And that's super powerful stuff to overcome, like that urge. Now I will say the companies know what they're doing and what they put in it and how to like satisfy all your fucking senses on that stuff. But, I mean, we all have free will. We all have the ability to turn this around. What I struggle with right now is I don't want to body shame anybody. I don't ever want to be cruel and mean to people because of their weight. But you and I both know that, kind of to rip off Andy Frisella at times, you can't sell yourself that story. You can't look yourself in the mirror and sell yourself the you're happy with where you're at thing. There are people that I think are somewhat happy with themselves, but only they know whether you are truly, truly selling yourself the story that you're happy where you're at. And if you are, good for you. But I would say the majority of people are like, you're not happy. And so we have these two competing things. We have the statistics that I read earlier, that those numbers are going up and then it's a trend that is not good. And we will see the health effects of that. We're seeing it with the Wuhan flu and how it's knocking people off. We're going to see the like straight up, I didn't pull the stats for like how many people die of diabetes and how many people die of heart disease and stuff, but it's way more than
it's a big number.
It's huge. And
pardon the pun.
Huge. And so that's gonna, you're gonna just fuck yourself on that stuff. So like sit there and tell yourself the story you need to say, be happy in your own skin, do all of that stuff. But really you're dying a slow death.
What is concerning for me, and which is why, even though it's kind of like, it's definitely one of those do as I say, not as I do relationships that I have with my son when it comes to food.
Sure.
And he'll openly say like, yeah, I don't want to be fat like you. I don't want to struggle to do these things. Like, his health is important.
Yeah.
Where the lack of personal responsibility is being redefined as accepting of being overweight. And this is, oh, this is my body and I should embrace who I am. You are literally killing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you want to fucking eat as many cheeseburgers as you can and you die that way and you're fucking happy and puts a smile on your face, that's cool.
Yeah.
But don't rebrand, you know, facts. Like, don't change the narrative of saying this is okay and it's healthy.
There was a fucking ice cream commercial that popped up because it had to have been on YouTube or something, because I saw it. I want to say it's Halo ice cream. Don't sue me, Halo, if it's not you, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Unvalidated. Their ad campaign was larger people dancing around with the ice cream and being happy in their own skin. Like, it was like somebody across the way in an apartment dancing and you're looking at them. And it's like this whole thing about people being, they're heavy, they're bigger than they should be. And it's the ice cream. If you can't understand the fucking audacity of an ice cream company going, it's okay to just love yourself the way you are. It's okay to love yourself being fat. And I'm sitting there going like, number one, fuck, I'd love some ice cream, but we don't have any in the house. And I'm, again, as you pointed out earlier, too lazy to go drive down and get it. And it's a huge comfort thing for me. The evening routine of ice cream. And like, that's my jam. That's a huge fucking family programmed thing. And yet here's this company saying, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Just be happy with that and this. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this thing. And we just happen to sell a product that embraces that and supports you in eating our product that will definitely lead to obesity.
There's two things I want to, well, yeah, I mean, use it with moderation, right? And so, but it's not being marketed.
Does anybody use ice cream to moderation? Sure. Come on now.
I'm sure there's some people out there that do, but it's funny, right?
You talk right about into being the show fat. If you are.
You talk about being fat and happy and ice cream, right? Uh-huh. Probably the first quarter of like a Ben and Jerry's pint, I'm fucking happy. Like, uh-huh. I'm like, this is delicious. It's great. Uh-huh. And as I get to that halfway point, I go, oh, I really shouldn't be doing this. And then I'm like, well, I mean, I just won't eat any. I won't buy another one. Right. And then I sell myself. I'm going to finish it and get rid of it because, you know, yeah. And then it like when I'm done, uh-huh. I'm just like, fuck, Like, I'm just so like disappointed in myself. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, tomorrow will be a better day. And then I'm like, oh man, I'm really busy. I'm like, oh, there's a McDonald's. I'll get a fucking sausage egg McMuffin, you know, because those are always delicious.
Right. Here's where you're even programmed. My daughter and I were talking about this recently where, she unfortunately gets her breakfast fairly regularly from Starbucks. And we're all under the impression that Starbucks is a healthy alternative. And because I'm paying whatever the fuck it is, like $6 or something.
10X fucking premium.
Yeah. Ridiculous amount for an egg McMuffin. It is the same. Heated the same way, cooked the same way. And at that point, I just looked at her and I was like, hey, let's be honest with ourselves. This ain't healthy. If we're going to just go down this road, let's just go to McDonald's and get two of these motherfuckers for way less. And frankly, I think they taste better too. Yeah. But none of it's healthy. But we have the illusion because I did it at Starbucks. And I'll throw that out there as well with Starbucks and Dutch Brothers and other like fast food coffee restaurants, if you will. Holy shit, the amount of sugars that they put in that stuff. This isn't coffee, folks. You're drinking just straight up like non-carbonated sodas. Like it's an insane amount of sugars and things like that. So it's, man, these are all temptations around us. And these are all things that just like come at you. And you got to be very, very aware of it. But I think really what the target of this episode is more is how we collectively, Corey and I have let this stuff sink back into our lives. And, you know, in future episodes, I think it'd be great as you move farther along your 75 hard journey and I move into like my goal for myself, and I'll state it publicly on this podcast, hold myself a little bit more accountable, is I want to be at or under 200 pounds by my daughter's 20th birthday, which is in November. So that's my goal. It's a very attainable goal for where I'm at right now and in a very attainable time. But just, I actually set a goal for myself for being under 200 pounds by the time my baby was born, and didn't happen. So chimichangas happened.
So while we're not doing 75 hard together, I'll do what I can to shame you into obtaining your goal. And I expect the same in return.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess I'll state what my goal is to be sub 300 by my 13th wedding anniversary. Holy shit.
Which is when?
September 13th.
Okay. Sub 300?
Sub 300.
How much do you have to go to get into that?
45.6 pounds. So totally doable.
Yeah.
I've done it in the past. That's okay. How I know it's doable.
It's about 10 pounds a month. All right.
Yeah, I can do that in a healthy
fashion. But the thing I know about you as a person, though, that you've done the 75 hard and the commitment that you make to yourself and everything, like that is your jam. That is how you get back on it. I think what needs to be sussed out for the future is once 75 hard is over, how do you keep that going for yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you just keep on 75 hard? What management, what lifestyle thing works for you to crack this coat for yourself? So the weight loss, weight gain, weight loss, freaking bouncy, like.
Yeah, the roller coaster ride.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. The roller coaster ride. The bouncy thingy, the bouncy chair thing, bounce house.
The lack of sustained consistency to do things that I know are good for me that will prevent me from fucking sitting here and having an expert opinion on physical challenges due to shitty fucking decisions. No, I mean, I get it. You know, and that's what I love about. It's what I loved about doing 75 hard the first time. It's what I love about the things that I did learn, the things that did stick with me regarding that program, and things that were communicated within the book and associated podcast and, you know, other relationships, is that I don't bullshit myself in the same way in which I used to. Mm-hmm. And I'm far less inclined to try to manage a narrative amongst other people regarding my own health.
Right.
That's really the only thing that I think I anyone could ever characterize as being somewhat disingenuous or not fully truthful when it comes to myself. I like to say I'm pretty self-aware and honest, but when it comes to taking care of myself physically, that is like the fucking hardest thing that exists in my life. And that's
being aware and then doing anything about it are two different things. You can be hyper aware of something and be like,
whatevs.
Yeah.
No, it's my kryptonite.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have to, before it was, I got to do it with my wife. I have to do it with this. Like it was always like, let me attach myself to something else and that I know will help get me there whether it's her accountability or something. And now it's, I'm left with just fucking me and having that conversation with myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know,
the big ass mirror.
Jeez, fucking dick. I think that's why I'm choosing activities now.
Yeah.
That I'm fucking hurting myself to a certain extent. I got to be mindful not to go too far.
Yeah.
That way I don't like fall off the wagon. But yeah, I don't want to have this conversation again.
That would be great. So let's wrap on that, and we'll pick this up in future episodes. This one takes us deep into July, and we'll see. We got some other topics that I think we want to explore, but we'll see where we're all collectively at, maybe around your anniversary. Let's see if you hit that goal. Let's see what you came up with.
Yeah. Well, you'll go first your goal.
No, I won't. It's November.
Oh, I don't know why I was thinking it was October.
I got way more time than you do.
I'd still
go to first. Lose about the same amount of weight or less. Works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely need to wrap
up. So I can get started later than you. So I can have that chimichanga tonight. Anyways, thank you all for joining us on this episode again. And stay safe out there. Have a great week. And we will catch you on the next one.